Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
One of America's favorite hymns is Amazing Grace. Do you know what grace is? We're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you have made us yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we live in that relationship with you, we realize how far short we often fall in living the life that you would have us live. We realize how weak we really are. At times, O God, we can almost become depressed. But then we learn of your grace, that grace that is willing to reach down and receive us wherever we are, granting us the complete forgiveness of all of our sins, and that grace which strengthens us to face every difficulty that comes along life's way. God, immerse our soul with this great truth that your grace is sufficient. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 12th chapter of St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. It begins with verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Friends in Christ, let's face it, life can be pretty rough at times, can't it? We love this world. We love to be a part of it. In spite of all of the difficulties, we just simply want to stay here. But sometimes just staying here can be pretty hard. It is only natural for us to ask some questions about life. We receive letters in the office every day, people telling about the hardships that they're going through. And I think we can probably summarize these questions into two main thoughts. The first is, how do I face these dark hours of life? And the second one, how do I face my own death? Now we're not talking about the death of a loved one. We're talking about our own death. When we shall receive the last breath, how will I face it? What goes through my mind now as I must deal with it? Paul, the last member of my cabinet, who gives me comfort and strength as I walk along life's way, gives us the answer when he says to the Corinthian church, I face life with all of its difficulties. I face my own death in the grace of God. And he summarizes it in these four words. God's grace is sufficient. It is sufficient for life. It is sufficient in the hour of death. Now you may say, well, typical preacher's talk, giving easy answers for very difficult questions. I would ask you, is this an easy answer? Let's see. Is it so abstract that you can't lay hold of it? Then let's try to make it more concrete. Let's be really right down to earth in these questions that we are asking and that torment our souls from day to day. In the dark hours of Paul's life, he turned to the Lord for strength. Paul talks about here in this passage that I've read to you today that there was given him a thorn in the flesh. Now notice, it does not come from God. Let's get that thinking out of our mind. It is a messenger from Satan. Paul lives in a broken, sinful world. And as a member of this world, he is going to abound in all of these difficult hours. So as a result of that, he says, let's put it where it is. That difficulty that comes our way is a messenger from Satan. So he went to the Lord, and he said, God, whatever this thorn in the flesh was, and we simply do not know, remove it from me, will you? Nothing happened. A second time he asked, nothing happens. A third time he asked, nothing happens. But finally, God, who is not going to grant that particular request, says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Kenneth Chafin, a great Baptist preacher of his day, said, God doesn't build a wall around us to isolate us from the risk of harm, but he does surround us with grace that enables us to transform anything that happens to us from something that is ill to something that can be a blessing. There are a lot of bad things that happen to God's people. And Paul is very much aware of it, but he turns to the Lord. And the Lord says, no, I'm not going to grant it to you, Paul, but you're going to have grace to face those very difficult hours, those dark hours of life. What does Paul then say? This has been my experience, he says. I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, Paul had the experience that going through the difficulty and relying upon God's grace made him more dependent upon the Savior, and therefore it deepened their relationship with each other. Can that be true with us? My first point then today is, how do I face these dark hours of life, these thorns in the flesh that may not always appear as if they're thorns? How do I face them? And Paul says God gives you the grace to face them. Let me get very specific with some illustrations. A few nights ago, my wife, a guest, and I went to one of our favorite places to eat supper. It's a kind of an informal type of a place. It's a place where you can go to get a nice light supper. The attitude of the people there is something that you kind of enjoy. And most always when we leave there, we have been lifted up, not only fed, but we have been lifted up. That night was no exception, and yet it was. Our waitress that night was a charming young lady. And as she came back and forth to our table, I got into a conversation with her, and I asked her where she came from. And she said, well, I have just graduated from college. I have my teaching degree. And come next fall, I'm going to start teaching. But right now, I'm taking this time to relax. I've just moved into a house. First time I've ever had a house of my own. And I said, but where did you come from? And she told me the city, and I was well acquainted with that small city here in the Midwest. Knew the pastor of the church where she belonged. She had happened to come from one of the churches of our denomination, and the pastor and I had spent a lot of time together, for I at one time had lived near that area. So I said to her, well, now you have a lovely house. You live there alone, I assume. Oh, no, she said. I moved my boyfriend in with me. So I said, well, you're cohabitating. Yes, she said, that's right. And I said to her, because she gave me the opportunity and the spirit was good, I said, tell me, now, I know your church and I know your pastor and you went to confirmation class. And you learned that commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. How can you then cohabitate, if you're a Christian, when God's word says, no, don't do that? She turned and looked at me and she smiled. And she said, God's word also says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I don't always do that. Now she said, is it any worse to break the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, than it is to commit the commandment, thou must remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? So I said to her, but the one ill does not justify the other. And then she turned around and changed the conversation somewhat. She said, you know that at least 60% of the young people my age cohabitate before they are married. I'm always rather skeptical of percentages. I wonder where they all come from. But I was willing to go along with her, and I said, does that make it any better? She says, it makes it harder. It has become the accepted thing. And so the question is continually, why not you? Why not move in? And I said, because it's sin. Well, she said, it was. Is it now? She went and got our food. She came back. She went and got our dishes. She came back. And each time she came back, she returned to that question. This caused me to say, here is a young lady who has got a thorn in the flesh. Throughout her life, she had learned that that kind of behavior was wrong. It was sin. But now Satan was tempting her with it. What should she do? Accept some moral teaching She probably had had plenty of that and got some of it from me, too. She should turn to the Savior and should say to him, Lord Jesus, you know the temptation. You know the drives that are within me. You know how much I love that young man. You know that it doesn't seem that we can get married right now because of expenses. Lord Jesus, what shall I do? It is at this particular point with a thorn of the flesh before that God's word says, my grace is sufficient for you, my darling. I will grant you the grace. We'll work something out where if this is a person that you want for your life and you believe that together you can have a good Christian home, then we'll work something out. But if not, then I'll give you the grace to withstand the temptation if you will but lean on me. And that's no easy answer. But it is a biblical answer. And it is the answer from that man in my cabinet by the name of St. Paul. Trust God's grace. And so it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're plagued with some of the temptations that come your way or the things that happen to you in life that causes you to be bitter. Turn to the Savior. And there you find his grace. Walk with him. Experience his grace. Wrestle with him in prayer. This, by the way, of cohabitation, is not only for the young people. My 4 years in Arizona, living in some of these parks, have shown me that it's a temptation of the retirees as well. And many fall because of pension plans, etc. Turn to Christ. Love him. Ask him to give you the strength and the answer. Maybe you should marry that person in a trailer court. I don't know. But don't let dollars cause you to break the commandment. Let's turn now to facing our own death, where the Word of God also still speaks and speaks very clearly. Now remember, it's not someone else's death, but rather it's our own experience. No matter how assured we are that heaven is our home, and we can live with that assurance, there's something about leaving this world that brings natural pain for most of us. Not all, but for most of us. What is it? We're leaving something behind. We're leaving a person behind, or people. During the course of my ministry of many years, I have been at hundreds of deathbeds. I have picked up some very interesting statements. At about the same time, I had a young father of 3 children and a young mother of 2 dying. They were committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew they were going to heaven. But as I sat and talked with them from day to day, they said to me, "We don't want to go. Those kids are dependent on us." I can hear that young mother say, "I can raise those 2 girls better than anybody else in the world," and she was right. Why do I have to go? Well, we rely on God's grace for our own salvation. Jesus Christ has atoned for it. We do not contribute anything to it, nothing whatsoever. But it's hard. And at that point, if you're there today, young or old, remember it's the grace of God that says to you, be assured, don't doubt. If you trust Jesus Christ, he has atoned for your sins. He has taken them away. But that doesn't mean that we won't have some of those real inclinations to stay here. We enjoy our children. We enjoy our grandchildren. Now, that's why we spend the winter in Iowa most of the time. Probably a month away. We just want to see the activities of those grandchildren. And we're leaving something behind. I have a friend who has been a pastor for a long time and now in his retirement has found a little church that he's serving. And during the course of this past year, he suffered a severe stroke and is not able to do this serving anymore. His mention is, "I hate to leave the routine Isn't that interesting? Even the routine becomes precious to us, and we know the heavenly home is there. But the routine that we go through every day while we're here on this earth becomes a part of our lives. Thank God it does. It's hard to leave. But facing our own death, we know that His grace will be sufficient. I've also sensed in the course of the years the nervousness of going. It doesn't mean that we're not assured that we're going to heaven, but we are basing our heavenly home on the promises of Jesus Christ, and believe me, Satan is busy there, telling us, are you sure? Are you sure? Until we come to the place where we say with a man of old, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. There are those unanswered questions. Like one lady said to me, you know, it's kind of tough getting going. I'll be all right once I'm on my way. It's just waiting around. Just waiting around. Well, it's a free gift, and we know that. And no amount of preaching can ever change that in any way, but God working through the preaching can assure us once more that His word is true, and that He will sustain us, and that He will be with us. It's like the old lady who was dying. And I said to her, listen to this passage, and I quoted John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I said to her, do you understand it? And she looked at me and she said, no, I don't understand it, but I believe it. It's just kind of waiting to get going, isn't it? And in that period of time, God's grace is sufficient. Well, 8 weeks ago, we started this series of sermons. I mentioned to you at that time that I needed a board of directors or a cabinet to help me in my daily walk with the Lord. And so we have talked about 8 different people. For example, we started in the first week with Abraham, whose words to me every day are trust Him. When the question comes, where now, Lord? Abraham says, trust Him. We went to Samuel, and he said, listen to Him. Take time out in your devotional life to listen. We went to Joseph, who said, the key word here for me is learn to forgive. And then we went to Job, and he said, there are so many things in life, just be patient. Moses had to remind me that God's word is authoritative and nothing can shake it. Finally, we got to that old lady who was a prostitute but converted, Rahab, and she said, make yourself available to God and life will not be boring. And then we turned to those other two delightful ladies, Mary and Martha. And if there was anything they taught us, it was this, that there are differences between God's children, and He can use us all. And now finally today, we conclude with this, Paul, that great man of God, who said, as you walk through life, you must rely on the grace of God to be with you in hours of temptation and to comfort you in your hour of death. That's my cabinet. Do you have one? And if these sermons have been of any avail to you whatsoever, we'd like to know about it in the office. And if there are enough of you who feel that you'd like to have copies or tapes of these sermons, we'll be glad to try to get something together and send them to you. May God bless the voice of these great individuals as our counselors on our daily walk with the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lead not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we pray that you will strengthen us in our faith, that the counsel that has come from you through these people will serve us in such a glorious way that we can be better servants of yours. Hear us as we pray, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the service has been a blessing to you. We are a non-profit radio ministry, and it is your prayers and financial support that enable us to share the gospel message. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. If you would like to receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484, and call Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. You may leave a message on voicemail at any time. You will also receive letters from Pastor Larson at Easter, Christmas, and on our anniversary in September. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Once more, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.